Father, on this Palm Sunday, help us as we reflect on your journey into Jerusalem, that we reflect on our worship. As that crowd worship you, help us to reflect on the way that we worship you, and help us to worship in depth and not just on the surface, just on a Sunday. Be with us, Lord, as we reflect on those things, because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as you probably know, the times you've heard me preach now, that I do like a good story. I also quite enjoy imagining myself into the scene, and I find that's really helpful to understand what's going on there. And I know a few years ago I wrote my own version, if you like, of what was happening in that scene. I saw a young woman being caught up in three separate crowds. One praising Jesus, one shouting, "Crucify him," and one seeing him crucified. And it made me realise how easily a crowd can change. I was going to share all three of those, but I thought, no, it is Palm Sunday, stick to the subject. So I'm just going to share the first reflection of that person that was imagined into the scene, if you like. First of all, I suggest that we close our eyes, because if I'm going to speak on behalf of somebody of that time, you don't want to be looking at me dressed in my jeans and my pink jumper. You need to reflect on how that person would be dressed. You need to think about that crowd. You need to think about the people heading into Jerusalem, perhaps singing psalms like the psalm we heard earlier. People heading towards that town. And then we hear the words of one of the residents of the town. "I don't know about you, but I hate crowds. Everyone pushing and shoving. And have you noticed that everyone seems to be going into the opposite direction than you?" Well, I suppose that's not strictly true. There was one crowd that I particularly enjoyed. I joined in it, and it was a really joyful crowd. I want to tell you all about that crowd. I was walking along on the road to Jerusalem, you know, doing the usual things, shopping, getting water, being a good housewife, when I came to a parade of people. They were all carrying palm branches and seemed to be really happy. I asked people what was happening, but all they said was, "Come and see." So I joined them. Shopping and water could wait till later. Then I saw him, riding on a donkey. How can anyone look royal riding on a donkey? But he did. I'm always one step ahead of myself. I bet you're wondering who I'm talking about. Of course, it was Jesus. I'd seen him so many times, teaching, healing the sick, even outsmarting the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. But I've never seen him looking like this. He was magnificent. I don't really know why I say that. He was dressed just the same, and he was riding on a donkey. It looked like old Isaac's donkey, and if it was, then it was unbroken. And yet it carried Jesus like that donkey had been doing it for years. It reminded me of a scripture I'd heard which said something about a new king would come riding on a donkey. But I digress. This was a good crowd. They were waving their branches and throwing their cloaks down in front of him and shouting, "Hosanna, and blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." We knew who he was. He was the king who was going to lead us out from Roman oppression. I joined in the cheering. You couldn't help but join in. You would have done if you were there. I saw the Pharisees try to stop him. It all went quiet for a moment, and I heard him say, "If we stop praising, the stones would cry out." Fancy that. Even stones would cry out. Keep those imaginations, if you like, in your mind, but gradually open your eyes again if you've closed them, and just start to reflect on some of the things that perhaps you've seen and heard in that reflection. Could you feel the excitement of the crowd? Would you too have got caught up in the praise and worship like that young woman? How did that moment in the lives of those people, how does it affect the rest of their lives? It strikes me that many of that crowd wanted to know more. They wanted to know who he was. I wonder what happened to those people that wanted to know more. In Luke's Gospel, it quotes Jesus as saying that even the stones would cry out in worship if the people were quiet. What did that mean to the people listening? I suppose the thing that strikes me is that the people were cheering because they thought that this was the Messiah, a saviour, someone who would lead them from Roman oppression. A king riding on a donkey. Many would remember what was said in the scripture about the Messiah, but they were missing the point. They were making a Messiah of their own making. They were making him into someone they wanted rather than the Messiah that God had planned. This is the main reason why their worship changed to hate on Good Friday. As I said earlier, I do like a good story, so I thought you'd be disappointed if I didn't bring a story to you. And I want to just read you this story because I do think that it says something about missing the point. It's about a young boy who lives in the countryside. He'd never seen a circus, and one was coming to his town on a particular Saturday. When he asked his father for permission to go, his dad said he could, provided he did all his jobs, and they were done early enough. Saturday morning came, jobs finished. The little boy asked his father for some money to go to the circus. His dad reached down into his pocket and pulled out a pound note. Yes, we did used to have pound notes. The most money the boy had ever seen at one time. Off he went. As he approached the town, he saw people lining the streets. Peering through the line at one point, he got his first glimpse of the parade. There were animals in cages and marching bands. Finally, a clown was seen bringing up the rear of the parade. The little boy was so excited that when the clown passed, he reached in his pocket and handed him the pound note. Thinking that he'd seen the circus, at the end of the parade, the little boy turned around and went home. You almost want to shout after him, don't you? You've missed a point, there's lots more. And do we come to the church like that little boy? Just like him who went to the circus. Maybe we come with the intent to worship God, but all we see is the parade. We're just looking in. Worship is about so much more than what happens in our time here. Yes, today is Palm Sunday, and while we often celebrate this Sunday with shouts of praise and joy, I think that this is, in a way, one of the saddest days of the year. In a way, sadder than Good Friday itself. Because on this day, worship occurred that wasn't really real. Well, maybe it was for some people. Who am I to say judging them? But for many of those people, it was not true worship. On this day, the songs of praise came from ulterior motives. The people wanted something. They were happy to sing the praise of the prophet because they believed he was there to deliver them from the oppression of the Roman government. They believed that they would finally be free. On this day, worship was a popular thing to do. Everyone was doing it. Why not join the crowd? So I suppose on this day, worship didn't cost anything. No one would be persecuted for this. In fact, worship could be anonymous on this day. because the crowd was so large that you could get lost in it. On this day, worship was an event and had nothing to do with lifestyle. So what is true worship? I think one of the first things true worship is worship out of love. It doesn't ask questions like, what's in this for me? What can I get out of it today? But rather, what can I give? It comes from the heart. It's about being moved and touched deep down inside. Secondly, it's worship when worship isn't always popular. We live in a culture which values increasingly less the importance of faith. We live in a culture which teaches the skill of, I can never say this word, breaking things up into sections. There are some words I just cannot say. In other words, put your religion over here, your work over here, your play over here. When you attempt to bring your faith into another area of your life, you may even meet opposition. It's not the popular thing to do. But true worship is not about seeking approval from the crowds, but about worshipping in spite of what others think. Third, true worship costs. True worship costs. Well, chances are, you and I will never be asked to choose between abandoning our faith or death, which we're hearing so much about in so many places. We are challenged each day to worship at a cost. I suppose in a way, you stand up against something when you know it's wrong. Maybe when you don't laugh at a dirty joke, or when you get up early in the morning just to spend time in prayer. Until worship demands something from you, it's not real worship. So I suppose that finally, true worship is a lifestyle. If we can only take away one thing with us today, we need to remember that true worship is a lifestyle. We must see worship as more than what we do here on a Sunday morning. Worship is about everything that we do. We don't need to come here to be in God's presence. God is with us every day. And we must be worshipping God through our actions, through our words, through our service to others. Worship is about our response to what God has done for us through Jesus. It's about responding to God's love out of gratitude. If you're like me, then worship is not always what it should be in life. Sometimes I find myself coming to Sunday morning, realizing that I haven't really been worshiping like I should be through the week. I find myself wanting to get something from worship, but I need to be reminding myself that unless I'm living in God's presence every minute of every day, unless I'm challenging myself to make my worship a lifestyle, Sunday morning will mean nothing to me. My prayer is for each one of us here this morning that we take this away and worship God in every part of our lives, each day, not just on Sunday. Shall we pray? Father, we pray that our worship may be not just here on a Sunday, but in every part of our lives. May it be a lifestyle choice rather than just a coming to church on Sunday to sing some hymns. Help us, Father, to be aware of your presence each day of our lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.